Operation Cast led 10 years ago throughout the Obama administration and until today.
We're speaking with Helena Coban from Just World Educational. Please share with our listeners how they can contact your organization.
Well, thanks for asking, Michael. Yep. Our website is www.justworldeducational.org, and we have a pretty strong presence on Facebook and Twitter. We have just been wrapping up our project for the 10th anniversary of Operation Cast Lead, but we are coming up to another very important Gaza-related project that we're doing, because I hope your listeners are familiar with this movement, this amazing, nonviolent, creative movement in Gaza called the Great March of Return. And that movement was launched on March 30th of last year, so we'll be planning something big in the lead up to the first anniversary on March 30th of this year. We have a lot of other things that we do. We do a lot of anti-militarism work, but we certainly do a lot on the Palestinian rights issue.
Helena Coban from Just World Educational, thank you very much for being our guest on Law and Disorder, and keep up your good work. You take it easy.
Thanks so much, Michael. It's always good talking to you.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the world premiere of Jump, co-produced by Confrontation Theater and the Milagro Theater. The play runs from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Jump is the story of a 20-something who is reeling from the death of her mother. She is looking for solace in a good place to vape, but what she finds is a journey of self-discovery. Again, that's Jump, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall in Portland. The community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion will address the realities of climate breakdown and the expansion of fossil fuels infrastructure. The event will pose questions about oil train traffic along the Columbia River, impacts on First Nations, and more. Again, that's the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10:02 a.m. and we're going to hear Film at 11 in just a minute, right after I remind you that KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema. Open every night and featuring independent foreign and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com.
There it is, the music from Ennio Morricone and The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. This is DK Home. I'm here with Mona Bowen and
Hi.
Just Jess.
Hello.
And this is the debut show of Film at 11, which is going to be our weekly movie review wrap-up.
Yes, we'll be having a panel reviewing the latest films from the multiplex to the art houses to the Northwest Film Center, as well as streaming films. We'll have occasional shows that are special for seasonal and current event content. Our show is unique to the Portland area and to our knowledge, but it will also conform with the program charter as an arts service. So thanks for inviting me.
Yes, and just to do a little announcing, at 10:30 today is Sprouts, which features an interview with Grammy Award-winning native artist Dawn Avery. And then at 11 o'clock, it's Pacific Underground, where Asian and Pacific Islander Americans take the mic into their own hands. And all, of course, is made possible by members' support. So perhaps we should introduce ourselves to the good people out there, Mona.
I guess that means I'm going to start. Okay. Apparently, I don't know how mic works either, so here we go. I've been doing this for a while, but it's all going to come back. I am Mona Bowen. I live in Portland, from New England, so maybe I have a little bit of different sensibility than a number of other people around here. So that can bring some friction and interest. What are my bona fides? I don't know. I am a huge film nerd, and that's basically it. I love movies. I started doing this with Doug for a different show a while ago, and just because I would sit and argue with Doug about movies for hours at a time.
You don't take much guff from people, that's for sure. And
I will happily explain to anyone why the new Ridley Scott Alien movies are abominations. Don't at me.
Okay.
I'm right.
And Just Jess here is, of course, part of Fortunato's Monday Sampler.
That's right.
And she's appearing here as a good luck charm on this day debut show, although I hope that you will appear as many times as you can.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I hope so. Yes, like Doug said, I'm co-host of the Monday Sampler Monday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m., where we often talk about movies and film, and so I'm really excited to talk about the content that we have today and the genres and things. I'm a movie attender.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see things through a critical lens, so to speak, but I'm glad to participate in as much as I can.
And you two have a lot of movie likes in common.
We
so
do.
That'll work
yes.
out.
Yes, we do.
Well, I wanted to make a couple of quick announcements of movies that are opening right now, today, Friday. One is Never Look Away, and that's over at the Kiggins Theaters for all our many Vancouver, the good Vancouver, as opposed to the other one.
It's just a short hop over that bridge, people.
Yes, so. And you can get there in downtown Vancouver for Never Look Away, which is the movie about Gerhard Richter, the German artist, directed by the guy who did The Lives of Others, which is one of my favorite world cinema movies of the last decade or so. And it is... one was, among other things, nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Film. So there's that movie. And then at either today or next Friday is opening Ash is Purest White, which is the new film by Jia Zhang. And I know I'm mangling that name, but it's J-I-A and then Z-C-H-A-N-G. And he is a much respected movie director on the... international festival circuit. He's a little bit like Hu Hsiao-shen, the Taiwanese director, kind of a slow cinema guy with lengthy movies. This one is a little bit outside of his normal thing. He's from China, and he likes to make movies set in the far-reaching industrial sections of China. And in this one, it's the story of a woman who takes the rap for her gangster boyfriend, goes to prison, and then when she gets out, she has a hard time finding him. And when she does, things go a different direction. It's a movie of different tones. It starts out being almost documentary or neorealism, and that's something we should talk about at some point in the show, how neorealism from the 50s has become a fallback technique for movies, especially from Asia and elsewhere. Anyway, so there's a kind of a documentary feel to it, but then as the movie goes along, it becomes more... I don't know, I guess you'd say beautiful, in where he just will plant himself in some of these far-flung parts of China and just show how big and massive and teeming these cities are. And in fact, at one point, I'm talking too much about it, but at one point, she's the main character is on a ship going through a part of China that's a city, a complete whole city that is going to be dammed up and it's going to be underwater within 5 years. It's a real thing. It's, you know, he incorporated it into the movie. So that's Ash is Purest White, and the title is explained in the course of the movie. So those movies are opening or coming soon. I think Ash is Purest White will be at the Living Room Theaters in downtown Portland, but it will be somewhere if you just look. So, but first, another movie that's opening today, which I happen to see, but Mona and Jess know a lot more about the director than I do. It's Us, directed by Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. Mm-hmm. Well, so Doug will speak about the movie I'm going to go see it this evening, and I can't wait. Jordan Peele has become our new master of horror. A lot of people will know him from Key and Peele, but he has the most fascinating sensibility when it comes to films. And anyone who saw, why can't I have a mental block?
Get Out.
Get Out. Thank you. Two simple little words.
I know.
Anyone
and they
who
got
saw,
out of your
and
head.
They did, well, yes. The master of the pun over here. So anyone who saw Get Out was treated to, I don't even know, is it a new kind of horror movie, would you say? I feel it turned so many things upside down, including inclusivity, which is of primary importance, but also just a damn fine, rollicking, amazing horror movie that kept you guessing. And that is in short supply. My frustration with horror movies these days is I can always figure out what's going to happen. They're not scary. They're not scary because blood and gore is just blood and gore, and that can be disgusting.
Yeah.
But I don't find it scary. I'm tired of the torture porn kind of films, and also the formulaic ones that are like a bunch of teenagers, last girl standing kind of movie, and
or it was a new one, Death Day, Happy Death Day.
That was hilarious, but that was, to me, that was the Scream of that genre, right? But the thing about Get Out was we didn't know what was going to happen from the beginning of the movie, and even till the end. It kept me guessing, and I loved it. So what about you?
Yes, I'm really excited about just his cinematography direction that he takes on the horror genre, because so often, like you were saying, Mona, it's predictable. You know, who is the protagonist, who is the antagonist in this film, and you can easily decipher within the first few scenes, okay, this guy's obviously going to be chasing this person.
Yeah, they unroll as if they're hitting certain points that come from a computer.
There is a formula,
right?
And most of them adhere to it, which is why we rarely get a cabin in the woods, you know, but again, a Scream of that genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about us, look at the people who work with Jordan Peele. It's incredible. Richard Jenkins in Get Out, I mean, my God. You know, Oscar winners, and that was his first film. No, it wasn't. Keanu was.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But just to see what he can do with these actors, to give them something actually incredible to do with real characters. No one is a cipher, you know? You get the interior of these characters. He's an incredible writer. I'm really anxious to see Us.
And you can get the villain's side of the story. So the texture of the film is enriched by, well, now you know they're not just pure evil. They have this weird motivation.
Right. It's not just maybe a sociopathy, but they have a point of view that's oddly sympathetic in some way.
Yeah.
And to kind of give a general description, it's this family goes out on vacation, they go to the beach and everything's fine and dandy, and then one evening the son comes up to the family and says, "There's a family standing in our driveway." Mm-hmm. And you look at it and it's actually themselves. And so the whole rest of the trailer you see is just the interactions between the person's interacting with themselves and how it's they know there was one part that they're mentioning, they know what we're going to do, or they know where we're going to be, or
because
something
it's them.
Right. And something to that extent.
And that's the clever gimmick of this story. How do you fight you with the other you knowing exactly what you're going to do? There is a lot of backstory. It's not bad, but there is a backstory about where did these people come from? Where did this other family exist? which is where it gets into the creepy, scary part of the story. I can't say any more about that. But I will say, to augment what you described, Jess, is that the trip to the beach is a return trip for the heroine, played by
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes, I was going to say that. Okay. That's why I gestured at you.
Speaking of Oscar winners.
Right, right.
And she had a traumatic experience when she was a child, and it was never discussed clearly with her, and she has only dim memories of it. And the visitation by this family is the latest manifestation, in a kind of a Stephen King-ish way, of this incident from her past. Mm-hmm. So the movie is superbly well acted. And it is also, I think, to take your other point, it's a good-looking movie. It's not a bad drive-in movie style horror film, not low budget. It's really good-looking. There's some great aerial shots or views of what beach life is like, or you know, a home near the beach. It's beautiful. So it's the less you know about this movie, it's imperative. We've only said what is in the trailer.
Correct.
Right.
So, but yeah. I can add to that. It's well worth.
No spoilers.
It's well worth seeing. It's just a good addition to what is becoming an excellent horror movie career. I'm sure he won't always be doing horror movies, but in the future, he's got other things that
we
know of.
He does have other things. He is behind the reboot of The Twilight Zone.
Yes!
I know. I can't believe it. When you look at the list of people who are going to be in this series, it's just incredible. And the only problem, so we're going to talk about this now, so we do talk about streaming. The only way you're going to be able to see The Twilight Zone is if you subscribe to CBS All Access on your Apple TV or your computer or what have you. So this is what is happening in the world of TV now is you have to subscribe to a streaming access, some kind of streaming system, if you want to see some of the most creative work that is being done on the small screen right now. And CBS All Access came out with a bang with the new Star Trek series.
Which you like.
Discovery.
I like it too.
Okay.
I like it too. There's some incredible actors in it. I feel like it is a darker Star Trek.
Mm.
And it's a little bit, it's kind of, you can't really look at it as a complete continuation of what we've seen before.
Well, no, because it's supposed to be earlier in the timeline.
Earlier, right.
Oh, so that's why you can have war and fights, because it's before the Federation's...
the original series.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Okay.
But also it is a little... it's almost an alternative world Star Trek in some ways. But that's okay. We have different timelines in Star Trek, so I can live with that. So now the next thing we're going to need to subscribe to them for is the new Twilight Zone series. And honestly, I will pay my money for that.
But I would argue that The Good Fight, which is the sequel to The Good Wife, and I think much better than The Good Wife, The Good Fight is there too. And it's on just on its third season, and it's back at attacking Trump and dealing with the issues of law firms that have a brand that they're trying to, you know, African American supporting brand that they're trying
starring
to deliver.
Starring America's smarty pants sweetheart, Christine Baranski, who can do no wrong. We do have some other things to talk about, but yeah, I highly urge everyone, if you have not seen Get Out, just go see it. Get out and go see it.
Get out and go see it. I really hope in the new Twilight Zone series that they recreate the William Shatner episode,
No, they are, and Adam Scott is playing the William Shatner part. So all in on this. I really can't wait to see it. I'm very, very excited. The only problem is they're only going to be dropping one episode a week because that's the way they do it on CBS. Netflix, babies.
Hewing to the network.
They are.
It's
what keeps us coming back.
Yes. Well, speaking of coming back to horror.
Right.
Our final segment is going to be dedicated to the great film producer, Val Lewton. And Mona, I want you to explain why we're doing that particular thing.
Because
you instigated it amongst us.
You may not know Val Lewton's name, but you do know, at least you know the name of his most famous film called Cat People. And I'm not talking about the one with the David Bowie theme song back in the 80s with...
Giorgio Moroder.
Giorgio Moroder. No, David Bowie sang the theme song, though. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, but he was all over all the movies in the 80s.
Co-composer credit on most of the songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Putting out fire with gasoline. and the beautiful Nastassja Kinski. That movie is actually a really kind of flips a lot of the narrative of the original Cat People. The original Cat People is much more subtle in terms of what happens with the characters and their beliefs and their psychology. And the remake of Cat People, in the way that the 80s did with everything, made it bigger, bolder, louder, and more obvious with shoulder pads.
Yes.
So,
but Lewton's film, which was, I think, 1940 or 41, was the first of a series of about 8 or 9.
Not too many. He died very young, sadly.
Sadly, and, yes.
Yeah.
They're all done for RKO. They all had some of the top directors of the time, from Jacques Tourneur to also Robert Wise, who later went on to do the first Star Trek motion picture, and various other people. So he didn't have much to work with, and so he capitalized on the deficiencies of the budget by incorporating new ways to scare or startle you. One is called The Bus, where there's a sudden shock or noise, and the other is The Deep Shadows of something. And also this played into his desire to maintain a certain ambiguity. Are the cat people really cat people, or do just they think they are?
Yeah, he so for movies that had B movie budgets back then, he made A movie films. He got the best talent he could. He grew a stable of the cinematography on all of his movies that I've seen is astonishing. But what he did with set design, lighting, everything. It's really remarkable. And he had to do these tight little scripts. They're all about not even 90 minutes long. Quick, 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 quick. They were meant to be first on a bill, followed by the real movie. You know what I mean?
Well,
so I want to say the reason I got into this is there is a podcast that if you are like movies at all, I strongly recommend you go right to wherever your favorite podcatcher is and find The Secret History of Hollywood, which is done by a true film nerd and aficionado who really knows his stuff. And he has done a series on the life story of Val Lewton. And the life story of Val Lewton could be an incredible miniseries on its own. It is extraordinary. I don't even want to get into it, but all of his imaginative and surprising filmmaking came out of his life story. And it's just a remarkable story. The podcast itself sounds like you're listening to a movie. It's more like an incredibly engaging audiobook. It's one of those things I don't want to put down every time a new episode drops, but I highly recommend you listen to that. So as the film nerd that I am, I'm like, oh, what's this? I'm going to listen to this. And immediately I said to Doug, what do you have for Val Lewton movies? Because Doug has an extensive movie collection. He said, I happen to have the whole Val Lewton box set. So we've been having our own little film festival and watching them start to finish. And we just finished with The Body Snatchers. And
other titles include Isle of the Dead,
mm-hmm,
and
I Walked with a Zombie,
The Ghost, which is probably the second most famous, The Ghost Ship,
mm-hmm, and The Seventh Victim.
The Seventh Victim is probably my favorite, because this is what I love about Val Lewton. They're all studio movies, so he recreates New York City or Manhattan in The Seventh Victim in a studio, and yet it seems more like New York than New York does,
mm-hmm,
from other movies, from Law and Orders, and the echoiness, the clicking, the wind blowing up the canyons of the stairs. It's all so beautifully done. It creates this fantastic feeling inside you of awe and worry.
And it's not just, they are wonderful to look at. They really are beautiful. They're black and white, and they're actually just so, I can't get over some of the set pieces that are in these films. Like, we would watch them, we'd be saying, look at what they've done there. That's amazing. This is so, it didn't have to be that good, but because the stories
right.
were good.
And RKO didn't care.
RKO didn't care. And in fact, he made most of the movies he made, he was given the title and then told to make a movie based on the title. So that is a Bass Ackwards way of doing things, but he did it anyway. He did it beautifully. And so these movies are about 7 years old, so why am I telling you to watch a 70-year-old movie? Because if you want to know, if you love certain things about new movies now, including Jordan Peele's movies, Val Lewton's movies were seminal for the horror genre. People were not doing this kind of thing. He was coming up against what was going on in the other studios with Frankenstein, was more of a traditional horror movie, or all of the Dracula movies that were out at the time, and all of these cliched kind of things. And he had this completely different sensibility. In fact, he based many of his films on stories that he learned as a child back in Russia, or his own fantasy life as a child.
And Universal owned all the monsters.
Right.
The Invisible Man, Frankenstein, the Frankenstein monster, Jekyll, and they just had them all. So there weren't any left, really.
Right, so they had to make up their own. Yeah, and I can't recommend his movies highly enough. If you have access to Movie Madness, I'm sure they have all of them. So if you're a Portland denizen, then we are very lucky to have one of the finest movie rental houses around, probably on the West Coast. And I don't even know any towns that have them anymore. They stream from time to time. You can find some of them on Netflix. You can find them on, I'm sure you can find them on Google. You can find them on YouTube. So look out for Val Lewton. We'll probably be talking about him more in the future when we talk about other horror movies, just in comparison.
I would say, on a different note, that the Scarecrow video in Seattle is famously large, and they have screenings on the second floor. So it's not just, it's like the church of cinema.
What a
enthralled
great resource,
them. Lewton's, the writing is superb. You've got Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, and others borrowed from Universal to be in a couple of them, and I guess Lewton and Karloff became great friends.
They became great friends, but one of the great things about the Val Lewton movies for the era is the way he incorporated people of color into his films, and they were not the magical Negro that we talk about now. They were not step and fetch it's. They were not cliches. He has one actor who showed up a number of times. I'm going to forget his last name, and I feel terrible about it. His name is...
King... I know who you mean. The singer. Sir Lancelot.
Sir Lancelot, who was from the Caribbean Islands. He was very famous as a singer, and he came to Hollywood to be an actor, and Val Lewton cast him in a number of roles where he is an equal to everyone else in the movie. He may be playing a servant, because that was what was acceptable if you wanted your movies to play down south, but he was never subservient. He was never stupid. He was never a caricature. And also, many of the women in Val Lewton movies, they did have to adhere to traditional feminine roles, but many of the women in the movies are extremely strong characters their own opinions, who have
in the early ones,
agency.
Cat People and Zombie, but especially Seventh Victim, they're women-centered stories.
Yes.
And the men are somewhat secondary.
Yeah.
But... you know, essential to the workings of the plot, but it's about the women and their view of life and
their
troubles.
Life. Yes. They're actually, you know, have a real life. Yeah. And you can see them as whole characters. But I just think for the era, it's incredibly, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's interesting to see how he has incorporated all kinds of people into his films and not turned them into cliches.
Yeah. Have we sold you on him, Jess?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well,
anything having to do with cats?
Mm.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, but speaking of cats, for example, there's a lot of great extras on the DVD set. For example, there's a whole feature film about Val Lewton telling the story that is also told on the podcast. But also there's a bunch of audio commentary tracks. For example, Curse of the Cat People, the sequel, has an audio commentary track by William Friedkin, who explains how much of an influence that film was on him when he came to do The Exorcist. This is about a child troubled by a haunting of some kind. And other people do them on the Seventh Victim DVD. You learn how much of an influence that film was on Hitchcock 20 years later in Psycho, and I won't spoil why. So it's a great DVD set, well worth having. So, all right, to recap what we've been discussing, we just got through talking about Val Lewton. And before that, talking about Us, highly recommended movie. And also playing in town this weekend and next will be two world cinema films of special import. Never Look Away, and Ash is Purest White. And what is your final word?
I love movies.
That's a good word.
Let's talk about more. I don't. You put me on the spot, dude.
I know.
Well, I think the show will be kind of like this every week. We're never really going to know. Sometimes we're going to talk about books. We hope to have a few filmmakers that we know quite well come in and chat with us about their work, and you will know their work, believe me.
And also next week we'll be at 10:30, not
yes.
at 10. So Film at 11 will be at from 10:30 to 11.
Will he eventually start at 11?
Yeah, I don't know.
Progressively, maybe later in the day.
We'll take over the whole station at some
maybe.
Point. All right. Well, this has been Film at 11, and I hope that we'll be hearing from you and that you'll hear us next week.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.